I was having so much fun. I actually extended my trip another day. I didn't want to leave and I wanted to stay in the Disney bubble. So I added a night with my Disney Vacation Club at the Riviera Resort, changed my flight. And my good friends, David and David, came to hang out at the Riviera with me. And we did some poolside drinks. And then their pool bar called Bar Riva has not only great drinks, but a really nice menu. And we just wanted a snack because we were going to head into the park and over to the Polynesian. So we got their fresh burrata salad. Oh my gosh, that is one of the standouts of the trip. Well, hello. Welcome back to Sip with Nikki. I'm Nikki Lamberti here in Sonoma County, California. And before I dive into this week's magical episode, I have a really exciting announcement. So you'll notice in this episode, we've added a second sponsor with Sina Sea, wonderful Alaskan fish company. And that makes two sponsors with American Olive Farmer, and more are coming. And I'm so grateful because, first of all, I'd love to share with you the things that I love and I'm passionate about, which is the criteria to sponsor this podcast. But their sponsorship also helps to pay for the operating cost. So, coming soon, I am going to be offering a membership with multiple tiers, one of which will give you these episodes ad-free and bonus content. And then I'm really excited about the tier where I'm going to include all of that, but then also offer a private Facebook group that you'll be able to join. And in that group, I'll be doing live stream, virtual tastings, Q&A, and have previous guests like Dr. Hobie Wedler that you've heard, like Dan Richer, maybe even Heather who doesn't like wine. We're going to have live streams where you can interact, meet them, and have Q&A. So listen for the details to be invited as an inaugural member of the Sip with Nikki podcast. And if you're not already signed up for the mailing list, just visit sipwithnikki.com/resource to be the first to receive your invitation to be an inaugural member of our SIP community. And when you sign up, I'll send you my free wine tips cheat sheet that has all my best tips for understanding wine. If you follow me on either Facebook or Instagram, you probably saw last week I had an amazing trip to Walt Disney World in Orlando. And if you don't follow me on either of those things, now's the time. Nikki Lamberti on both of the platforms. And the idea to turn this into a podcast episode really came from a listener question on Facebook.
Listener questions.
So Melissa in Massachusetts commented on my post last week and said, "What are some of your favorite spots at Walt Disney World?" So if you're a longtime listener, you know that I lived in Orlando and worked for Disney for many years before moving out here to California in 2012. So I do go back to Walt Disney World often, not only to visit the wonderful friends that I had made there, but also because I do still work seasonally for the Disney Company in recruitment. Now, I say that because I'm about to gush on and on and on about Disney food and beverage and all of the delicious things that I ate and drank on my trip. This is in no way sponsored by Disney. I don't work in food and beverage. I just love food and beverage. So this episode is really just Nikki as a visitor wanting to share all of the delicious things that I discovered. Some were old favorites, some are new favorites. And so if you're traveling to Walt Disney World in the near future, you have friends and family that are, you're going to get all of the tips on where to find, in my opinion, the yummiest things and also, of course, the pairings. If you're not traveling to Walt Disney World, that's okay too, because this is a fun listen and gives you some ideas of flavors that pair well, even if you're doing it at home in your kitchen. Now, this recent trip happened to fall during the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival, which happens every spring. And that's different than the Food and Wine Festival that happens every fall. And if you've not listened back in the early days of the podcast, I have two episodes of eating and drinking around the world in Epcot that were recorded on location. This episode is different, not only because of the different offerings at this time of year, but it's not just Epcot. We got into some other special and interesting places that I can't wait to share with you. The bottom line is this. If you think that theme parks like Disneyland in California or Walt Disney World in Orlando, if you think that food is just chicken fingers and churros, I'm excited for you to hear this because over the years, both of the Disney parks have really upped their game as far as food offerings, whether it's snacks or beautiful full service sit down fine dining restaurants. And we love to do both when we go there. So here we go with my favorite Disney eats of my April 2025 adventure. All right, so I am just gonna go at this chronologically so you can live it day by day like we did. And our first full day was in Epcot. And we just happened to be there during the Flower and Garden Festival, which happens every year from March to early June. So this year it runs until June 2nd. So the first couple things I'll highlight were specific to the booths that are brought in, these extra little kiosks, like the Food and Wine Festival in the fall. This is the counterpart festival where you have all these additional bites. And if you're going before June 2nd this year, you'll be able to hit these items. And if not, look for them if you make it there next spring. So the first thing we hit in Epcot, and this is almost like a non-negotiable, especially because we usually stay in the resorts like the Beach Club, the Boardwalk, or the Riviera that either have us walking or taking the Skyliner in, and we enter the park in the back entrance called the International Gateway. And so the first country we always hit is the UK. And that is usually the first stop with a pint, whether it's a Guinness or a Black and Tan or a Harp. And luckily, all year round, they have what my family has unanimously agreed on, the best fish and chips, even having had them in London. Sorry, England, the real England. They are phenomenal and they're always super fresh. Burn your fingers and we get lots of malt vinegar to put on them. And it comes with two really big pieces of very crispy fish. So we'll usually just share it. And of course, lots of very fresh fries. So that was our first foray into our day. Fish and chips. And then my sister and I shared a Guinness. And it was a perfect pairing. And we sat down on the water in the little tables that are behind where you pick up those fish and chips. And if you heard the episodes last year where Michael and I were eating and drinking around the world, you will hear that was a stop for us too. It's usually the first thing we hit. From there, we hit a couple of the temporary kiosks that are there for the Flower and Garden Festival. And here's a little tip. The first stop, wherever you are, you can always pick up a little booklet. They do that for the Food and Wine Festival too. And then it'll list everything by location. What are the bites and what are the drinks? And if you're a nerd like me, you can plan your attack as you go. So we stopped in Japan and had a frushi roll, which looked very much like a sushi roll, but inside was strawberry and honeydew, melon. And then it was wrapped in coconut rice and drizzled with a coconut sauce and then some toasted coconut on the top. So you have to like coconut for this. And I actually paired it with a strawberry sake. So I thought, let's go for that approach and pairing with similar. And I wasn't sure if it was going to be too much, but it was actually really delicious. Three little bites of this roll, very fresh, very clean, and then that beautiful strawberry sake. We almost went back for seconds on that one. So mark that down. Another great kiosk that we hit was in Canada. And for those of you who are Epcot nerds, you'll notice that our stops were not geographically in order. Our day, the way it fell with the Lightning Lane passes that we had and the times of the attractions that we were also doing. Yes, we also do attractions, not just eating and drinking, but mostly eating and drinking. Had us backtracking, so we got some extra steps in the park. But in Canada, we had a beautiful scallop dish. It was seared scallops with French green beans, marble potatoes, and a bacon vinaigrette. And then I was very intrigued with one of the beverage options, which was Florida Orange Groves Winery in St. Petersburg, Florida, sparkling blackberry wine. And my nephew and my brother-in-law loved this because apparently this is a reference in a country song, Blackberry Wine. I think a lot of country songs actually sing about strawberry wine, huckleberry wine, and blackberry wine. So our joke was, you could ferment anything, in this case, blackberry. So I don't think I had ever had that before. And it was really delicious. I thought it was going to be a little sticky sweet, but it wasn't. And the sparkling made it very fresh. And it really was a nice pairing with the scallops, believe it or not, which had some savoriness because of the bacon vinaigrette. And then when we do these things, there were like three of us that were eating these. We just get one little serving of the food and one of the beverage, and we just do some little sips. And that one was a lovely surprise. What was not surprising, and I knew this was going to be delicious, this was at the Honeybee kiosk for the Flower and Garden Festival, which is in the pathway between Future World and as you go into the countries and the International Gateway. This kiosk had chicken and waffles, and it was crispy chicken with a sweet honey jalapeno bacon cornbread waffle. I'm just going to say that again because there is a lot to take in on just the waffle itself. Sweet honey jalapeno bacon cornbread waffle. And then it was topped with basically fried chicken. And then it had a whipped honey butter and spicy honey drizzle. How could that not be great? But then my quandary was what to pair with that from a beverage standpoint. I'm going to tell you the four things they had there, and you can guess what I did. So they had a honey peach cobbler freeze, non-alcoholic. They had a honey peach cobbler freeze with blueberry vodka. They had a Florida Orange Grove winery, same winery as before, but an orange blossom honey wine. And then they had a honey lager. What do you think I did? I stayed with the Florida Orange Groves Winery and I tried their Orange Blossom Honey Wine, also from St. Petersburg. And let me tell you, that was an awesome pairing. That again met that chicken and waffles, which had the spicy honey drizzle and a little bit of sweetness in the cornbread waffle. And the Orange Blossom Honey Wine was so aromatic. It reminded me of when I used to live in Central Florida in the spring when all the orange groves were blossoming. That smell is a very positive, nostalgic smell. And the wine had a very subtle hint of that. And it was delicious. That was a great pairing. Highly recommend. And then our final stop in Epcot, because we had a lightning lane for the Ratatouille ride, which is adorable. And when that ride went in, which is in the last 5 years, I think. Sometimes I lose track of timing, so don't at me if I'm wrong. But in my mind, it's been in the last 5 years. They added a crepe stand. And when we saw that, we got really excited because back in 2001, my younger sister Amanda was studying abroad in France and our whole family went to visit her. And one of the things that stands out in all of our memories is standing on the street in a little window where they made the crepes right in front of you and having steaming hot ham and cheese. Crepes, jamon et fromage, I should say. And so we had to get some crepes. And then my niece Sophia was very excited when she saw they had Nutella, hazelnut, and chocolate crepes. So we got one savory ham and cheese and one Nutella, and they were freshly made to order and delicious. So highly recommend. It's tucked in the back of the France Pavilion over by the Ratatouille ride. So then that night after Epcot, we ate at Topolino's Terrace Restaurant, which I affectionately call Topolino, which is one of my newer favorites. And that's located at the very top of Disney's Riviera Resort, which again, as I mentioned, is on the Skyliner. And just a little trivia for you, Topolino is Italian for little mouse. So giving a nod, of course, to the mouse who started all of this, my boss, Mickey. And you don't have to be staying at the resort to dine there. And I highly recommend it because Topolino's up on the rooftop overlooking Epcot. If you time your dining reservation correctly, the fireworks are at 9 p.m. at Epcot every night, and you can actually watch them from your meal. And the servers there are fantastic at timing it all out. We had a later reservation at like 8:30, 8:45. So we had just sat down, but they took our drink order and got everything started and then said, go out on the terrace and watch the fireworks. And they pipe the music in. So you get the full experience, but you're at eye level of the fireworks being on the rooftop. Not unlike if you've watched the Magic Kingdom fireworks from the top of the California Grill. It's a similar experience. I could go on and on about our meal at Topolino. It is very Mediterranean, a blend of French and Italian. But the one thing I want to call out, because it's been a staple on the menu, so hopefully when you do get to go there, it will still be on the menu. It is their ricotta cheese. It is served with a beautiful, almost tomato-like compote, like roasted tomatoes, aged balsamic, a little bit of cracked pepper, a little bit of basil, and then they serve it with these beautiful fresh baguettes that they make every day. And we have got this every single time that we've been there, and it's fantastic. So as far as wine that we did at Topolino, we started with a beautiful Burgundy, right? So Pinot Noir from the Burgundy region from a producer that I know, which is Joseph Drouin. And I picked it because I know it, but also because it's a great price point when it comes to being on a restaurant menu. I think it was under the $100 level, which is really impressive for a high-end restaurant. But then, of course, we brought a bottle of our 2022 Solavato Sangiovese. Yes, you can bring your own wine to Disney restaurants, just like most restaurants around the country. You will pay a corkage fee, but normally they'll waive that if you're purchasing a bottle there and bringing your own, which is what happened for us. And then we got to enjoy a really special wine made by yours truly with the entrees, which a few people at the table had rigatoni with chicken and truffle. I shared that with my sister. And then we also shared one of their signature dishes, which again, I think they've had since they opened day one, which is the sole meunier. Beautiful, delicate sole with capers and squash and asparagus and little potatoes and just really fresh. And with both the Drouin Burgundy as well as the Solavato, we actually asked our server if he would pour all of us both of those wines side by side, and it was fun to play and go back and forth and see Pinot Noir and Sangiovese both being light to medium body and light to medium tannin. They really both did sit in the pocket beautifully. I liked the Pinot Noir with the sole, and I liked the Solavato with the ricotta and with the rigatoni. So yeah. Such a beautiful meal up there. One of my favorites. So we went to bed with full bellies, and the next day we had to walk it off at Disney's Hollywood Studios, which we did. So many steps, and had an awesome time showing my family the Galaxy's Edge, which is the whole Star Wars new edition of the park. In the last couple of years, they hadn't seen that. And I also stumbled upon, new to me, again, it had been a couple of years since I'd been there, but a new tap house called the Baseline Tap House. I think it used to be Ellen's Coffee Shop. It's right across from Star Tours. And that was a really cool new ad because they have a lot of draft beer and a lot of seating inside and outside, which was great. And then just a big, awesome pretzel served with both cheese sauce and hot mustard. And that was just a delicious park snack that exceeded my expectations. Then we went to Galaxy's Edge and we had a reservation at Olga's Cantina. So if you've never been, that's supposed to be like you are entering the cantina from the movies. And they have some really fun drinks in there. That's what they're known for. They're very galactic looking drinks, fun presentations. Even the non-alcoholic that my niece and nephew got, they were fizzing and bubbling and doing all of these really cool spacey things. But the last time I had been there, and I've been to the Olga's Cantina in both Disneyland and Disney World in the last couple years, they just had really limited snacks. They were like these freeze-dried veggie chips with a little dip. And they still had those, but I was really wowed at the additional food that they have added to that menu. One of which was like a full charcuterie board. Really impressive. And I like no charcuterie. It's my love language. And it was a really lovely spread, very unexpected. And then they also had a warm pretzel roll that had also like a warm cheese dip accompanying it. So we doubled down on the pretzel and cheese, but come on, you're in a theme park. So who's counting the calories?
We will be right back.
If you heard our 69th episode from April 2025, you heard my amazing conversation with Sina Wheeler. Sina is from a fifth-generation fishing family, and she and her husband, Rich, founded Sina Sea. And he is a fisherman, and he catches wild, sustainably caught fish in Alaska, and then they cut it and package it and ship it to your door, and it's premium sushi quality when it arrives. You can create a subscription box, and they'll even guide you as to what's in season. For instance, May is the start of Copper River salmon season. In our episode, you heard Sina and I tasting this very salmon, which was delicious. And we made poke bowls and paired it with wine, of course. And I was really blown away, not only at the awesome quality of the fish, but the sustainability of the packaging when it arrived. And then the recipe card that was packed inside the box and how easy it was to prepare. So I'm so excited to introduce you to Sina Sea so that you can get your hands on the fish and have it shipped right to your door from a small family-owned business. They've been kind enough to create a discount code for our listeners. The code is SIPANDSEA, SIPANDSEA, and you can use that at their website, SinaSea.com, S-E-N-A-S-E-A, SinaSea.com, for 10% off your order. This can be for a one-time purchase if you just want to try it out, or you can sign up and save with the subscription box. I also encourage you to sign up for their email list for great recipes and inspirations of how to incorporate healthy and beautiful fish into your diet regularly. They even do a monthly drawing for a $50 gift card for all the members on their mailing list. So go check out the delicious wild Alaskan fish at SinaSea.com. Healthy fish delivered easy. AmericanOliveFarmer.com is a business and a website owned and operated by my friend Liz Tagami and her husband Donald. They live up in Corning, California, and I recently had Liz on the podcast where we got to taste some of her delicious olive oils, both the Arbequina and Ascolano varieties, and they're grown and made right here in California. Well, the oils were really just the tip of the iceberg, because if you check out her website, you'll see that they import gorgeous balsamic vinegar from Modena. In fact, one of them uses three of my favorite Italian wine grapes as the base of the vinegar: Trebbiano, Lambrusco, and Sangiovese. I can't say that without singing. And while on their website, if you sign up to stay in touch, you'll receive their newsletter and you'll get the fantastic recipes that Liz and Donald have created using their beautiful products. I'm so excited to introduce all of you to American Olive Farmer, and Liz has kindly created a discount code for our listeners. Use the code SIPWITHNIKKI, capital S, capital W, and capital N, SIPWITHNIKKI, for $10 off your order, and that can be anything from the site, whether it's delicious olive oils, vinegars, or even gifts. I mean, you can send someone an olive tree as a gift. How cool is that? Check out AmericanOliveFarmer.com and support this fantastic, small, California-based, woman-led business. You can even set up an olive oil subscription. Go, check it out. You're welcome. And now, back to the show. That was really fun. So I highly recommend the charcuterie board and the warm roll in there, and then all the fun drinks that you can get. And then the next morning, we were checking out of the Beach Club Resort. My sister and brother-in-law and family, they were moving on to South Florida to go to the beach, and I was sticking around for a few more days to visit with my Orlando friends for many years. And so I first met my dear friend Michelle at a new location for both of us, which is the Cake Bake Shop at Disney's Boardwalk Resort. Cake Bake Shop is owned by Gwendolyn Rogers, who's a really well-known pastry chef. And this is a small chain that started in Indiana and just came into the Disney Boardwalk in the last year or so, where the old ESPN club used to be. So Michelle and I met for coffee. Shout out to Michelle. She is like one of the most loyal listeners of this podcast. She listens every morning on the treadmill. Hi, Michelle. I'm just remembering our beautiful coffee date that we had. And we had some classic pastries, like just a beautiful fresh croissant. But I tried one of their signature coffee drinks, which is a rose cappuccino. So the cappuccino was literally infused with a rose syrup, and it was really subtle. It wasn't like stinky perfume, but it was just enough to be like, oh, I'm getting a little bit of floral on the finish of this cappuccino. It was beautiful, just as beautiful as the place. Next time you are there, check it out, the Cake Bake Shop. They have a takeaway side where you can get their famous slices of cakes or even whole cakes, gorgeous cakes, if you have a wedding or a sweet 16 or something, beautiful cakes, but they also sell them by the slice. Then you can take coffee away. We actually sat down in the restaurant side. And when you open those doors and walk in there, check this out on my Instagram highlights. It is so just visually stunning and appealing. The design that they've done in there, it's very whimsical, very white, very bright, lots of floral, just really fun add to what was already one of my favorite areas on all of Walt Disney World property, which is the Disney Boardwalk area. And after I said goodbye to Michelle, I was double timing it with a second breakfast with my family once they had gotten up and gotten it all checked out. And I just went right next door to Trattoria El Forno, also at Disney's Boardwalk. Used to be Disney's Spoodles, and then it was Cat Cora's restaurant. And then, I don't know, in the last decade or so, I think it switched over to Trattoria El Forno. And they have an outside pizza window, which is a great quick option. Great full Italian dinner, but man, their breakfast. So when my sister said she wanted to have breakfast there, I immediately remembered, gosh, more than 5 years ago, Mike and I had breakfast there. And this one item stood out in my memory, and I was hoping it was still there. And it was. And it is the El Forno eggs. So it's literally a skillet cooked in a wood oven, and it's a very savory kind of traditional Italian breakfast dish with eggs and polenta, fennel sausage, and a spiced tomato sauce. And it's all just, think almost like eggs in purgatory, if you're familiar with that. And then this big, beautiful, crusty, toasted country bread in there. And I think hands down, this is one of the best breakfasts on Disney property. So if you find yourself in the area there, eggs El Forno. And the pairing was a beautiful iced coffee, which I was just going to get regular coffee. And our wonderful server was great at suggesting things. And she talked up their iced coffee to the point where all of us sitting at the table were like, yeah, I'll have that. And it was really delicious. So highly recommend. So on my final day of my trip, which was really my final day because I was having so much fun, I actually extended my trip another day. I didn't want to leave and I wanted to stay in the Disney bubble and just have some downtime. So I added a night with my Disney Vacation Club points at the Riviera Resort, changed my flight. And my good friends, David and David, who I've known for over 25 years, we taught traditions together, all as Disney cast members. They came to hang out at the Riviera with me. I was having a pool day. And we did some poolside drinks. And then their pool bar called Bar Riva has not only great drinks, but a really nice menu. And we just wanted a snack because we were going to head into the park and over to the Polynesian. So we got their fresh burrata salad. Oh my gosh, that is one of the standouts of the trip. Check my Disney highlight bubble for the food porn picture of that, because it was all multicolored heirloom tomatoes, big, beautiful, fresh hunk of burrata, basil, swimming in olive oil in the most beautiful way. And I paired it with an Aperol spritz because that is a very vacation-y drink for me. And man, I was on vacation. And they actually paired beautifully. The freshness of the spritz with the freshness of the burrata. It was a perfect start to our culinary afternoon and evening. And then we went into the park. So some of those flower and garden snacks that I already spoke about were part of that journey. And then we got on the monorail and took that over to Disney's Polynesian Resort because there is a new tower that's been recently added as part of the Disney Vacation Club. And I hadn't seen it since it opened. And the Davids, as we call them, shout out to the Davids, by the way, who are also avid listeners. If you're my friend, you have to be a listener, but they really are. And they wanted to show me the new restaurant that opened along with that tower called the Wailulu Bar and Grill. And this was brand new to me. And it's so fun when I've lived there for 15 years and I visit at least once a year, if not more. So anytime there's something new, I'm like, I have to see it. That was like the Cake Bake Shop on this trip too. So Wailulu Bar and Grill was new for me and it is gorgeous. Oh my gosh, the way they built that out, it's a big open air bar and restaurant. The big banquette seating booths have running water. along them. It almost had a little bit of Aulani Disney Resort in Oahu, a little bit of an Aulani feel to it. But you're right on Bay Lake on the water, and you're looking across the water to the castle. So nestled right up there next door to the Grand Floridian and the wedding pavilion. So just really scenic. And while we were waiting for our table, I got a glass of South African Chenin Blanc. It was a warm evening and Chenin to me just sounded light and refreshing. Protea was the producer in South Africa. I've had that before. And then little David got a Mai Tai, which was gorgeous with a plumeria flower floating in it. And big David got a banana old fashioned. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So tasted both of their cocktails. They were excellent. And the banana old fashioned was, again, just a very subtle banana, almost on the finish, not overpowering, but just gave it that tropical wink. And it was great. And then again, some of the standout dishes of this entire trip were those appetizers that we had at the Wailulu Grill. So one of the ones that David had heard about was actually a spam dish, because you know, in the Hawaiian culture, they do a lot with spam. You can get spam sushi rolls even current day. And so this one was called Musubi, M-U-S-U-B-I, Musubi, which was glazed spam with crispy rice pearls. And then furitake, which is like a dried kind of fish condiment with sesame. It's very umami. And then it had a sriracha honey on it. It was sliced. It almost looked like pork belly sliced on the plate. It was very savory and delicious. And then they had a garlic shrimp appetizer. And when we asked our wonderful servers about that, they're like, if you like garlic, this has garlic four ways. It has a black garlic emulsion. It had a garlic lemon butter. It had crispy garlic on the top. So it was like garlic on garlic, and then three really big prawn shrimps. And that was delicious with some smoked paprika on it. And then for me, I think, again, one of the standouts, both visually and in my mouth, was the ahi chips. So this was almost like nachos, but on fried wontons with a beautiful marinated ahi tuna, an avocado crema, a sriracha aioli, and then a soy glaze. And it was outstanding. And the pairing with my Chenin Blanc, because I had got a second glass by then, was perfection. They just met in the middle, they hugged, they elevated each other, and we capped off our meal literally from our table sitting there watching the Magic Kingdom fireworks and the castle across the water. They also dim the lights in the restaurant and play the full music of the fireworks. What a perfect ending to my I need to come up with another word, but it really is the perfect trip. There's a lot going on in my life right now, as all of us. And I just, that week of magic with family and then friends and then all of these culinary exquisitries. Is that even a word? I don't know. I'm getting like excited and carried away and making up words, but such beautiful treats. So if you can check out any of these places that I recommended in your next Walt Disney World trip, I hope that you do. And then let me know what they were and let me know what I missed. There's a lot, 47 square miles. I didn't eat it all this time, but I'll be back. I really am sitting here reminiscing back to a week and a half ago and tasting those flavors. Oh gosh, it was all so delicious. So I'm excited for you to get there and try these out and let me know what you think. In the meantime, check out my Instagram at Nikki Lamberti. And I've got a highlight bubble right on the grid there called Disney Eats. And you can actually see all of the things that you were listening to. Give me a follow while you're there. And if you prefer Facebook, you'll see my post from last week with lots of photos of what you heard about today as you were drooling. Don't forget to sign up for sipwithnikki.com mailing list to get more information about our inaugural membership rolling out soon. And if you're curious to get your hands on my delicious Solovato Sangiovese that we brought to Topolino's Terrace, solovatowines.com. We're currently in stock with the 2022 Sangiovese, which is a beautiful, medium-bodied, fruit-forward red wine with a little bit of spice, not a lot of tannin, and you need it on your table with pizza and pasta and charcuterie, which we're doing with friends here tonight. Make sure you use the discount code PODLISTENER for 10% off your order at solovatowines.com, and we can ship to most states in the U.S. Check the links in the show notes, not only for Solovato, but how to find our sponsors and my social media. As always, I appreciate you listening. I hope you learned and laughed with me. And whatever you do between now and next week, I hope that you sip well.